This episode of the Out of Bounds podcast is brought to you by Fisher's Keys. Hello. How are we? I hope everybody's doing well. I feel like I'm doing pretty good today. And we've got an awesome episode coming up for you. This time we are talking to Jacqueline Lammer. She is a pro snowboarder for 686, among a bunch of other things. So we talk about snowboarding, obviously. We talk about the Tour de France. This episode was recorded a couple weeks ago at this point. So we talk about the tour, obviously COVID, because that seems to be a talking point for me lately, and yeah, a whole bunch of stuff. Oh yeah, and the Spotify channel that 686 does, we talk about that as well. Yeah, it's a great episode. Jacqueline's great, and yeah, I hope you guys enjoy it. Be sure to check her out on the Instagram. It is just her full name, Jacqueline Lammert. And yeah, like I said, check out those Spotify playlists that 686 does. They're awesome. This is not an ad. It's like a great way to discover some new music. Before we jump into the episode, I just wanted to say a quick thank you to a sponsor of ours, Drink Tanks. Drink Tanks has been a sponsor of the show for some time now, and they make some awesome. I almost said beverageware. They almost make awesome. They make beverageware. Drinkware. They make drinkware. Like tumblers and cups, but most importantly, they make something called the Drink Tank, which is a tank that holds either beer, kombucha, water, coffee, whatever. But for those carbonated beverages, there is a full-on, basically like a little mini kegerator thing that you can attach to the top of your drink tank. Super easy to carry, super easy to transport with you, fully insulated, just like all the other insulated tumblers on the market, except way cooler. So check them out. It is www.drinktanks.com. Let them know that we sent you. And yeah, that's it. I hope you guys enjoy this episode. Be sure to leave us a review on iTunes if you get the opportunity. Helps the show grow a bunch, and I appreciate it, and I like reading them. They're funny, and they're fun sometimes. So we'll talk to you guys next week with I don't know who, but yeah. Anyway, here's episode number 115 with Jacqueline Lammert. All right, you ready to do this thing?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Tell the people who you are. Tell everybody a little bit about yourself, and then we'll kind of go from there.
What's up? My name is Jackie Lammert. A snowboarder from Michigan. That's pretty much it. I like to do other stuff too, but you know, boarding's a huge part.
Yeah. What do you do in the summer? I mean, now you're on a boat. Like, that's important to talk about. So in case anybody hears anything go by, like people aren't like, what's happening right now?
Yeah. Summertime is, I mean, I spend a lot of time on the water, but I spend probably the most time on my bike. Okay. I've just been cycling a bunch this summer, and the Tour de France just got done, so I would just watch the tour for like 5 hours in the morning and then be like ready to beast a bike ride out at the end of it. And it's like my favorite thing right now, biking.
Oh, no shit. Have you always been into it, or is that like a new pickup?
No, actually. I mean, I biked as a kid. I always, you know, I liked it enough, but my boyfriend's family was always super into it. Like, they grew up following like the circuit and like racing a bunch. And it was like after one summer we worked at High Cascade, and I got home and Dusty just bought me a road bike. Like, I had said I wanted one, and he bought one, and from then on I've just been absolutely hooked.
Sick. It's kind of a weird thing, right? Because like snowboarding and road biking, like cycling, are very different things. So it's weird that you'd be into both of them at the same time, but I guess it kind of makes sense.
Super. I mean, I feel like they're both kind of like this like fun suffer fest though.
Yeah. And
like, there's the similarity is like, it's that, what is it, like type B fun or whatever it is, like the type of fun where you're just like, oh, this is actually kind of horrible, but in the best way.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? I guess it's true. Yeah. That makes total sense. So what'd you think of the tour? You watched the tour a bunch. What'd you think?
Yeah, I mean, I'm still learning everyone's names. So that's same. Like my worst thing is I struggle to remember and to be able to like have a conversation about it because I don't remember everyone. But like I thought the time trial being on that like second to last.
Yeah, that was nuts. Day,
yeah, and like the fact that I think it's Pojakar.
Yeah.
Like he came in two, like that was like unfathomable.
Yeah, that's like way better of a job pronouncing his name than I would have done. So I'm glad you did it first.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, I mean, the tour was awesome. Like I love watching the mountain stages. I think that is just, I mean, it's just the whole thing is kind of like, it blows my mind. Just the athleticism and the overall like ability of those guys is something that's like, I go out and ride my bike afterwards and I'm like, wow, it's entirely unfathomable to even think about what they're doing. But it's cool. It's super motivating.
Yeah. I always thought it was funny when people would like bring up like doping and be like, why do you need to dope to ride a bike? And then you like, if you ride a bike and you look at the kind of shit that these guys are doing, you're like, I'm all right. Right. Like I'm an okay bike rider. These guys make me look like I'm an absolute imbecile. Like we don't do the same sport, you know, like it's so much different.
So. Absolutely. Yeah. I watched the 30 for 30 with Lance Armstrong. And I was like, yo, I kind of want to do EPO. Like, I just
100%, 100%
to ride your bike and feel like that much of a beast, which I know, like, I'm going to say this right now. Like, I don't think that like the fact that those dudes dope, like, I don't, to me, you know, morally, like there's some questionable things, like obviously with what Lance did and like he took a lot of people down and that didn't deserve it. But I honestly like I don't have like a lack of respect for the people that do it. It's not like to me, you know, that like when I find out that someone has doped or whatever, that like I don't respect what they've done still.
Yeah.
Because doping is going to maybe like increase your performance like, you know, a few percentage when you're already at that very top level. So, you know,
I
would never, but you know, I just still have the most respect for the people that are cycling and doing that crazy shit.
Yeah, it's not like if you give either of us EPO, we're going to be in the tour tomorrow. Like that's the thing. I think people think that like it's really that simple. You don't need to do that. And people think the same thing with steroids too, I guess. But like, it's just funny how people's minds work when it comes to that kind of shit. Like all the other work they did over the years before the EPO doesn't mean shit. But now that you did that, it's a wrap. Like that's what it is.
So. Yes, like give me steroids, and I'm not going to be like crushing home runs like Gerard. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? There's definitely some hard work that goes into things before that.
For sure. So how'd you get into snowboarding? Because I think that's why people are probably going to listen to this is like to talk about snowboarding, not the tour. Like, but how'd you get into riding? What's that like? I mean, I don't know what the Michigan scene's like, but I mean, you tell me.
Yeah. So Michigan is amazing. It's such a close knit, tight snowboard community. With the best people. So I actually grew up skiing. So I started skiing. My parents really were hyped on skiing. So when they had me and then my sister, like we could walk and then they were like, all right, let's go strap some skis on and just like shuffle around the yard. So I skied from the time that I was like two on. And then, I wanted to snowboard really early on and we like met Warren Miller at like a book signing and he like talked me into ski racing. So I started ski racing. And then I ski raced for a long time, like all the way. Well, I guess in the grand scheme of things, it's not a long time, but I ski raced all the way until I was a freshman in high school. And like, I like raced on the school team and like went to Junior Olympics for CUSA and, you know, did that whole thing. And then like at the end of my freshman year, I just like told my parents that I wanted to snowboard. Like I'd go to Mount Hood in the summer for ski camp and I would just like drool over High Cascade. Like I thought it was so cool. Yeah. And then I don't know. In the summers I would skate and I would wakeboard and I just snowboarding seemed like the thing that I just wanted to do. That last year skiing, I would go to like race or I would train in the morning or whatever. And then at night, since our resorts in the Midwest are open 9 to 9, I would go home, switch my clothes, and I would go snowboarding for like the rest of the night until 9. And then the next year I just was like, yo, I want to snowboard all the time. So I just quit skiing and started snowboarding and that was kind of that.
How did your parents feel about that?
You know, I think they were, like a little surprised.
Right.
And I think like, because of the amount of money that they put into all the training and all the camps and all the gear for skiing, like they were maybe a little bummed, but ultimately like supportive. I definitely had to like buy my own snowboard and all my own snowboard gear. Like they were like, all right, like you're kind of doing this. Like if you want to, like,
yeah,
go ahead, like, you know, head to the ski swap this year. But you know, they've always been super supportive people. So, maybe they're a teeny bit bummed, but I think they're okay with it now.
Yeah. Do you think ski racing, like, did that translate at all for your ability to ride a snowboard? Like, was there anything that you took from that made you a better snowboarder?
Yes, 100%. Just because like you learn so much about how a ski turns, the actual science behind it, and the science behind like how to, like, it helped so much for like once I started to like film, because like if you're at a spot and speed's hard to come by, like I knew where the appropriate times or how to turn or like kind of just how to like initiate like energies, if you will, if that makes sense. I think it translated a ton because like a ski and snowboard turns just the same, you know?
Right.
So yeah, I think it helped.
Do you think it goes both ways?
Yeah, well, I think that if you understand, you know, how it works, like how the energy flows, and like if you understand like the flex of a skier or a snowboard, like you can easily translate that to the other one. As far as like the ability of how it feels to like slide down the hill, like they are pretty different. But I think if you have like an understanding of one on like even just a bit of a deeper level, then it makes it super easy to understand at least what you need to do. Like it's hard to learn it sometimes, but you kind of know what you have to do.
Yeah, it seems like lately, and I just talked to Parker White about this last week, we were kind of talking about how it seems like there's a lot of skiers and pro skiers in particular that are switching over to like snowboard like in their free time because it's different enough that it like switches it up. So like I'm just, it's in my head, I guess, as like a discussion point, like what's the difference, you know, like I'm trying to kind of figure out what the difference is, I guess.
Yeah. I think it's so cool to see. And I don't know why you don't see it so much the other way right now, but yeah, there's so many skiers that are hopping on and they rip, like Parker rips.
Yeah.
You know,
like, yeah, that's so true. Cool. I think it's different though. So like, I know a bunch of people that have switched over from snowboarding to go skiing, but it's because they sucked at snowboarding and now they want to go skiing. Like, but I don't, the ones that I know that are going from skiing to snowboarding aren't like switching per se. They're like just doing it both. Right. And I guess that's the difference is like the other one, the people that I know around, because like I work in a shop and like we see it all the time. Like the biggest changeover seems to be like people think skiing's cool again versus like skiing wasn't cool for the last, like the first 10 years that I was skiing. Like people were like, skiing is the dorkiest thing ever. Like I'd almost lie and tell girls that I snowboarded so that like they would still think it was cool. Like even though it's like you're not skiing in the same sense that they're picturing you're skiing. Right. So that it had that stigma to it. So, like, it just seems like it's a weird thing. It's weird to me that it's even a conversation, right? You ski or you snowboard, and, like, there's still this, like, big separation between the two.
Yeah.
So, I'm hoping that kind of, like, dies down a little more.
I think it will. And I think, like, so, since you mentioned Parker, like, I've rode for 686 for quite a while as well. And I think they're doing a really great job of, like, I mean, they didn't used to have a ski program.
Right.
And in the past few years, I think it's probably now been like maybe 4 years or 5 years, I don't know, but they really were like, yo, we're gonna do this, like, and fully dove in and like made the effort. And I think it's been so awesome, like, and I think they're just, more brands are gonna kind of follow suit, I think, with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, to me it's like the industry's too small, like, to just be like segmenting, especially for clothing brands that are making like technical outerwear and stuff like that. It's like, I don't know who you think you're selling this stuff to, but like you need to be selling it to everybody, like, because you can have a better brand. And like, yeah, there are brands that are going to be like true core brands, I guess, but you should be opening yourself up, especially like there's no difference. Like people used to come in and ask for a snowboard pant versus like a ski pant. It's like there's not really a difference anymore.
No, it just depends on the you know, the fit you want, really.
Yeah, right. It's what fit do you want? It's not like this one's for snowboarding, this one's for skiing. And like people still do that, but it's an odd thing for sure.
Definitely.
What's it like working with a brand like 686?
Oh, it's been incredible. They are the best people. Like last year, they brought out a bunch of girls and hosted like this huge women's roundtable. And it was like girls from all different zones of the States and Canada. And they brought out like athletes and retailers and shop owners. And it's just, it's cool. They're a brand that really, really cares. They want to get it right. They want something for everyone. And are they're just, they're all super great people. Everybody there.
Yeah, I think they're doing an interesting thing right now. Like, and their marketing is good. The way they're branding themselves, I think, is good. And like, actually, the way I found you was through those Spotify playlists too. Like the things that they're putting out, which is like, so like people see that stuff, and I think they're taking advantage of that in the right way.
Yeah, I've had so much like positive feedback about the stuff like that. Because when you're doing it, you're like, oh man, I kind of wonder how many people are into this or whatever. And I think people just are. I think people like, they want to know the people that they're watching snowboard, you know, they kind of want to know you a bit more personally. And I feel like, yeah, 686 does a great job of kind of making that a thing, you know, like getting to know the people that you're, that are representing or whatever, like the brands that you are into.
Right. For sure. What's it been like for you? Obviously like COVID's been a thing for everyone, and I'm like kind of sick of talking about it, but like it is a talking point because we're not in the season yet. Nobody knows what's going to happen with the winter, but we do know what happened with summer. So what was your summer like? I mean, how did things change for you? Did it change at all?
Yeah, things changed a bit. I mean, we do a lot of just like chilling with a close group of friends here, so that didn't really change much. I mean, obviously during quarantine, we, like Dusty and I, straight up quarantined. Didn't really see anybody, but really, like I said, I was just like riding my bike a ton this summer, so that was cool. I started a business just about a year ago, so I had to, so I went to school for management of health and fitness. That's what my degree is in. So I do like group fitness classes. I do a lot of personal training and like lifestyle coaching and things like that. And I'm pretty much transitioned everything to be online, which was not in the works straight away, but COVID kind of like pushed me. Like the first, you know, right away during quarantine, I built a website, and then after that, things just kind of kept rolling that way. Yeah, but life kind of, I mean, changed for sure, but just trying to take like every day and I don't know, be productive. Yeah. I have ups and downs just like everybody else about it, but I reached like this tipping point where I realized, like, because I kept on being like, oh yeah, I'll pick back up where I left off, like, once things come back to normal. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh shit, I don't think I'm going, like, what, there's gonna have to be like a new normal, I think. And so that was a really cool opportunity to just, like, you know, switch things up.
Yeah. How has it affected your business then? Like, I mean, are you more motivated to do stuff, like to produce content and like do stuff that like people can kind of use to promote their own health and fitness? Or are you like, cause I mean, for some people, like when this thing hit, they were just like, okay, now I can't really do that much. Like, transitioning stuff online for you is great, but does it do the same thing for you? Are you still as attached to it when it's online as when it's in person?
Yeah, I think I'm pretty attached to like anything I put out there, just because I want it to be like true and authentic to like who I am and what I believe in. And so yeah, my motivation for that kind of stuff is, I'd say I'm even like, I kind of realize there's this whole untapped like potential with, you know, like now I can put things out there. You know, I have like things in the works where it's going to be like kind of different things, different like programs that you can buy. And so that it'll be kind of make my training available to people that maybe can't afford the one-on-one training, but like, you know, still really want to work with me or whatever. So I think it's going to open up doors for me to just like help so many more people. Like when you're a personal trainer, you're pretty tied down to how many hours of the day you can be in a certain place. And I realized, like, if I take all my stuff online, I'm going to be able to be doing so much more with so many more people in so many different places. And that's something super special, I think, because the whole point of what I do is to help people and to help people feel good, to help people, whatever, reach their goals physically. And yeah, it's a rad thing to realize that I can help way more people than just who exists in my tiny little bubble in Northern Michigan, which is quite small.
Yeah. I can imagine so for sure.
Yeah.
It's, I only ask that because, like, for me, like, I hate doing Zoom, like, podcasts. Like, they're not fun for me. Like, I mean, they have been great, like, to be honest, like, in the people that I've had on, like, I've been more selective, I guess, with who's come on and, like, people that I can, like, actually hopefully hold a conversation with. But, like, versus the other ones where I was like, you know, I'd go and I'd do them in person, but I'd try to schedule like 5 or 6, you know, in a time period. It's more like you're just constantly stimulated from like that one-on-one, like face-to-face interaction. I was like, not sure what I wanted to do, I guess, or if I want to do it. Cause my, like, initially, like, I was always like, it's stupid. Like, but it's not a podcast. If you do it over the over video, like, it's a phone call or it's a FaceTime. It's not the same shit. And I still kind of feel that way, but we've kind of like, there's not really another choice, because otherwise it's just like going to be me talking to a microphone, or like me and whoever I can drive in my car to within a short distance and like make it happen in a semi safe way, you know, like it's just, it's the most feasible way.
Yeah.
So,
only ebbs and flows with all of it.
Yeah, like, it's weird because you're already doing a thing that's like we just met, like, and we met over, like, even if this was in person, it's still weird, right? Like, so you do it over video and it's like, now there's another layer of weird that you have to kind of work your way through. So, but so far I guess it's been okay. But that's why I asked about the training thing, because it's got to be a little different, because you're just like, you don't have that immediate reaction from somebody, you're waiting for feedback on the video that you put out, right?
Yeah. So I do a lot of, like, when I'm working with people, I train a lot, like, one-on-one, and I just, I say online, but it's very much so, like, the stuff that you were just talking about, like, I have a lot of that in the works, where, like, you'll just be able to go to my website and then purchase, like, a 12-week program, whatever, and then take it and do it yourself. Right now, the only online stuff that I offer is working one-on-one with someone. So we talk, like, with my clients, I talk on the phone all the time. Literally, they can call or text me at any time.
Okay.
So it's a lot more personal,
right.
But I am going to get into a little bit more of the, like, selling different programs. And in that case, yeah, that is a little different, and you don't necessarily have that emotional connection straight away with people.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let me know what you think after you do a few of those, I guess. And then we'll kind of go from there.
For sure.
What do you think is going to happen with the season? Like, do you have plans? Like, I mean, everybody's like, plan for the upcoming year has kind of gotten thrown in the wash for now. Like, what are you intending on doing? Do you have projects that you're working on that are maybe on hold, or stuff that's going through?
Yeah. So I don't have any super solid plans yet, because when COVID hit, like, I learned real quick, because when COVID hit, I was in Minnesota actually, and I had plans of going to Canada after that, and, like, obviously that didn't happen. I came right back to Michigan and never left. But I'm interested to see how things happen as resorts start to open up. I've worked in the park at My Hill for like 10 years, so we'll have a little bit of an inside view of how things are going to work kind of resort wise. But as far as traveling, I'd like to film this year. That's kind of always the name of the game, is like trying to film a part. I don't know if I'll have a project straight away, just because this last year I filmed for the Uninvited movie, and I don't know, like, I don't think there's going to be another one of those. So not really sure what I'll be filming for, but always trying to film. And I'm just going to keep it like super simple. Like, we're pretty close in proximity to, like, Trollhagen's not far away. I have a lot of friends in that area. I'd love to go there and do some filming. Southern Michigan is kind of a coin toss.
Sorry, I lost you for a second.
Oh, you're there. No, that's okay.
It's I've got I'm in an office building basically, and like I have Wi-Fi that's dedicated to this office space, but it like kicks off sometimes, like, and then I have to like reconnect to it. So like, but sorry, I've like practiced hitting pause fast enough, hopefully, so we don't have to edit that much. But anyway, you were saying.
Okay, well, what was the last thing that I said so that you don't have to edit too much?
Well, basically, like, what's your... Let me rephrase, I guess, the question, because you basically got through the majority of it for your plans and stuff like that. What do you think is going to happen for... Like, do you have a plan? Are you just sticking local? Like, is that what the idea is? Do you have travels in place? Like, I don't know what the travel restrictions are anywhere. Like, for us, yeah. I'm in Massachusetts, like... Vermont has travel restrictions. That's where most of us ski and ride. Like, that's an issue, right? So, like, for people in this immediate area, like, in my immediate circle, it's a problem. But across the country, like, I'm hearing it's not as big of an issue. So, I'm, like, I'm confused about what's going on. And I think a lot of people are confused about what's going on. So, what's going on for you locally? What does that look like?
You know what? I think if I looked into it, I'd probably end up being pretty confused as well. But, you know, I think as far as, like, Michigan's pretty good. There's a decent number of spots around here, so obviously we'll be filming a little bit locally, but trips are always kind of up in the air for me. Like I a lot of times I'll kind of plan things to go along with like wherever I need to be for, like, I try to go to all the snowboard events. Those are definitely my favorite. So a lot of times I'll try to plan like a film trip around those, and I don't know what the deal is there. Because like you say, it's so confusing, and I'm sure Crush is on it and like doing all he can, but you know, who knows with fall rolling around, and I guess we'll see where we're taken, I guess, with COVID and everything going on. But everything's gonna be up in the air for me. I'm gonna go pretty, you know, fly by the seat of your pants, yeah, if you will. And just hope that I can do my normal thing, which is like whenever I have to go anywhere for something, then I'll just tie other stuff in.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I don't. And I was kind of talking about this on a different episode a while ago about like how much the election is going to influence what happens with the ski season too. Like, I mean, obviously that's a big point of conversation for everybody in the ski and board industry, because it could very well affect, you know, the way policies go for the upcoming year, you know, like it could go either way.
Absolutely. Which is crazy to think. There's so much to think about with like what everything that's going on in the world right now.
Dude, it's
now.
A fucking headache.
My exam, I'm just like constantly like, you know, I've got a lot of my self-care routine is just like through the roof right now, just with like everything you could think about that can and does stress you out.
Yeah.
So, you know, I take a lot of baths. You know, making the house smell nice. Like, I get pissed off. I just go ride my bike for 30 miles. Like,
it makes sense. 2020 is a shit year so far. Like, it's something else. Like, there's a lot going on.
It's been a ride. Yeah. And I think I've really just been trying to, you know, there was one point in this year where I kind of just kept thinking, like, all right. That's got to be the last shitty thing to happen, you know, like now it's gotta, and then like it never would turn around. And so I was like, okay, like apparently like I just have to turn shit around for myself right now. Like I can't keep thinking that the universe is for me. And so, yeah, I've been, you know, doing my best. And I, you know, I know everybody's kind of, your best looks a little different right now, but there's still lots of good shit.
All right, well, awesome. I don't want to keep you too much longer. Where can people find you on social media? If you have anything you want to plug, feel free, and go for it.
Pretty much the only social I use is Instagram, and my personal one, let me see here, I'm actually not sure offhand. I think it's just my full name. So it's just Jacqueline Lammert. So it's JACQUELINELAMMERT. And yeah, if you're looking for personal training stuff, my business is like linked in my bio. And that's really it.
Sick. Awesome. Well, thank you for doing this.
Thank you so much. I had such a blast.
I will send you everything once. That was episode 115 with Jacqueline Lammert. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Be sure to check out her social media at Jacqueline Lammert. Yeah, check out the 686 Spotify playlist. I love those things. Those things are great. Again, not an ad. They're just, it's a cool way to discover some music. So be sure to do that when you get the opportunity. Next week we have somebody. We got a bunch of episodes that are being recorded as we speak. Definitely you'll see an episode from the crew at Phantom Industries. They make an awesome product to make your split board life easier, as well as probably, I won't even tell you the rest. All right, cool. Talk to you guys when I talk to you. Bye.